some good hearty singing tonight. Praise the Lord. Enjoyed it. Don't forget to pray for our revival services come up. I was speaking with the deacons last night at our meeting. And, you know, one of the things I really long for is a greater understanding of how much Jesus Christ truly loves us. And you have to ask for strengthening of the Holy Spirit to get that. So many other things going on in life that we can get our focus off of the Lord. And then the second thing is that I want to respond, as the passage tells us, we love him because he first loved us. And that causal is something that can grow. And love is the greatest gift we can give anyone. But we can also grow in that love. And we need to grow in our love of our understanding of God's love for us. And then we need to grow in our love back to Christ. One of the things that is not in contemporary Christian progressive movement is the idea of suffering. There is a lot on encouragement, edification, but if you don't take people where they are in a present trial or suffering and let them know that that's tied to our future glory, you're really doing people a disservice. So suffering before glory, that's the pattern of the Bible. Look on our papers here tonight. We'll read our opening remarks and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Mary anoints Christ's feet with the fragrance of love. She did so in preparation for his burial, but he was still alive. He would die in suffering and be raised again in glory on the third day, John 12:1-7. True biblical understanding starts with the spiritual realization that all the scriptures teach of Jesus Christ. Every book is teaching something about Jesus Christ. Our blessed Redeemer is constantly drawing attention to himself so that we might be drawn up from the down-dragging influence in a fallen world. Let me read that again. Our blessed Redeemer is constantly drawing attention to himself so that we might be drawn up from the down-dragging influence in a fallen world. Heavenly Father, open up our hearts to the truth tonight and let us be encouraged and built up by it. We know that some form of suffering is the Christian experience, always coupled with a future glory that's coming. So may we take heart in any trial, tribulation that we're going through, and realize there's a future glory coming that's much more glorious than the pain of any temporary suffering. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at Matthew 28, if you will. We'll go there first, Matthew 28. And we're looking at this passage, what's known as the Great Commission, the greatest assignment Jesus gives. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And that is fulfillment of Daniel 7:13-14. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, every ethnic group, baptizing them in the name, the singular name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, because God is what? Three persons. Okay? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, or behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, and all God's people say, Amen. The world, the word world there means the ages to come. I'm going to be with you through every age to come. That's what it means. So on our papers here, under Matthew 28:18-20, the gospel is to be preached to every ethnic group, all nations. So I ask you on occasion, have you witnessed anyone? Secondly, Have you witnessed someone other than a white person? If you're white. Have you witnessed to someone other than a white person? Because the gospel is for every ethnic group. Okay? If you're a man, have you witnessed to a woman? If you're a woman, have you witnessed to a man? There's ways to do things. Younger person, older person, just somebody different than you, have you witnessed? Now, this is a challenge. This gets us out of our comfort zone, but there will be opportunities. The gospel was preached to the whole world in the first century. Think of that. And the same will be accomplished in the tribulation period. The gospel is to be preached so it might be believed and that disciples or followers of Christ might be made. We weren't born disciples, we're made disciples. A student learner of Christ. It is the church's greatest assignment today. The Great Commission. Starting with the gospel and then making disciples. Go to Luke 24. You know, it's important that you think about presenting the gospel always. I think it will certainly encourage your work ethic. For instance, if you're working, doing a job for someone, and at the end of that job, you know you're going to witness to them. You know you're going to give them the gospel after you've worked for them. It'll help you with your work. This is true. Because you don't want to hurt your testimony in any fashion. You want them to see the Lord in you in every way. In Luke 24, we're going to see the Lord is going to give a loving rebuke. He had resurrected from the dead. They thought that they were going to rule and reign with him, and here he went, end up and died. And they were wondering, what in the world is going on? So these two, Jesus joins himself to and teaches. There's a lot of depth of understanding in Luke 24. With the understanding that the Christian experience involves suffering. So the pattern always is suffering before glory. Suffering before glory. Suffering before glory. Okay? By the way, we used to teach that ethic, I think some still do, in the American experience. You pay your dues, and then you can enjoy some of the benefits of paying those dues. But today's society, man, they want the same furniture mom and dad got in the house and everything, and they're barely out of the chute. You know, wonder why we don't have all this stuff when we're 25. That's one of the problems in our culture today. Instant gratification instead of waiting for the right timing of things. But hey, we're still learning, right, everyone? We are. So in Luke 24, we'll just start up in verse 25 there, from Luke 24, verse 25 through 27, first of all. Then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Who is speaking? Jesus. Who's he speaking to? Two men on the road to Emmaus, right? Then he says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? They didn't know who he was yet, right? Okay. So the rebuke is in love. Look on your papers there. The rebuke in love. You are foolish and slow of heart. That's the first thing the resurrected Christ says to two people walking on the road. And you know, this might be our experience sometimes too. Then he goes on to say, ought or don't you know, according to the scriptures, that the Christ was supposed to suffer first before glory? And did they think that way? Answer, no. Was that clear throughout the Bible? Yes. But they just weren't willing to see it. Verse 27. Here's what Jesus did. And beginning at Moses, where did Moses start writing? Moses started writing Genesis 1:1. Moses wrote that. Did you guys know that? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those are books of the law, and Moses wrote them. Pentateuch. Penti meaning five. Okay? So that's where Jesus started. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, who are the prophets? You have major prophets because they're more important than the little guys, right? Is that what it means? No, I do it all the time, right? Just to catch you. Major prophets like Isaiah, is he more important than Amos, for instance, who's a minor prophet? Why are they major and why are they minor? Shorter books are minor and the longer writings are major. That's the only difference. It has nothing to do with the personalities that God uses. It's just the length of the book. So then he goes from Moses, first five books. Then he touches all the prophets. He's saying, Isaiah is talking about me. Jeremiah is talking about me. Amos is talking about me. Micah is talking about me. They're walking along. Jesus is talking to them. They're wondering, what's going to happen now? You know, Christ was crucified, and we thought, you know, we were going to be reigning. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in, oh, I just love to have been at that teaching moment, all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. I did a message here some time ago where Genesis, he's our beginning. Exodus, you know, he's brings us out of sin. Leviticus, he's our holy one. You know, and on, right? And somebody said, can you preach that again? Can you preach that again? I got to find that tape and see what I said. You know? But you know, that really does, really will revive your heart. You like Song of Solomon? He's the lover of my soul. Wow. That's wonderful, isn't it? So, verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded in them and all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So that's wonderful. The rebuke and love is you're foolish and slow of heart. He said, the prophet spoke of me. The Christ must suffer before entering into his glory. That's what we've got to understand. The foolishness was tied to expectation. Anybody ever had foolish expectations? Setting yourself up for some real pain. If it don't go this way, I ain't going to be happy. You know, if I don't make the NFL, I ain't going to be happy. How many of you know a lot of people ain't going to be happy? Because only a certain amount of people can play sports at that level. So. Besides, isn't it so much better when you're sitting in your chair and telling them all what they should have done? I mean, you can just obviously see. Foolishness. What was the foolishness? Their minds were set on their own desires to be exalted in this present evil world. Hey, can I talk to mom, you know? Isn't this great, these guys, James and John? Can you talk to mom and see if we, you know, mom, ask Jesus if we can sit on the right hand and let, you know, ask mom. They were occupied with that. They thought that Jesus was that going to be that type of deliverer. By the way, he will be. And that the nation will be exalted. And it will be. But they skipped over the valley of humiliation. They only saw the peaks, the mountaintop, the air of invigorating Nike. The conquerors. We have won. That's all they drink. That's all they were drinking in. And all that's true. We have one in Jesus Christ, and we are more than conquerors. And it's because he loved us, and we need to love him back. All that's true. But how about the valley of humiliation? Well, I'm not going in the valley for nothing. Is he going to be in the garden alone? Are we going to leave Jesus in the garden alone? I didn't sign up for that part of Christianity. Well, you've been watching your TV too much. The Garden of Humiliation. There's a lot to learn in the valley. A whole lot to learn. It makes the mountaintops a whole lot better, doesn't it? We just jump from peak to peak. That's just not true Christian experience. I love the mountaintops experiences, don't you? Anybody? Of course. Wonderful. But we can learn so much in the valleys as well. So the foolishness was that their minds were only set on the desire to be exalted. And then they were slow of heart. Here's the part. They were moving very slowly to accept or believe that suffering would be a part of his and our own earthly pilgrimage of faith. That's the slowness. Have you accepted it yet? It does take a long time. It takes a long time to come to the place to realize that suffering is a part of Christian development. And that's why things just don't go the way that you hope they'd go. Because we have idealism. Everybody have idealism? Idealism is what ideally I hoped would happen. That's idealism. And how many times does that not happen? Often. Often. I was talking to Kimberly. I don't see her here tonight. And I remember that time in my life where Kim is right now. She was going to go work at another camp. Somehow they said they weren't even going to fill the position. So for my paperwork got there to have her sign up and everything, she said it won't be needing it because they just decided not to even have the position. So now that that didn't work out, she says, I feel like I'm kind of in a lull. I said, you're not in a lull. That's only in your mind. Anybody ever felt that way? I think I'm in, you know, some place in between one. No, you're not. That's only in your mind. We're right where God wants us to be, and we're right where he wants us to be all the time because that's right where he is. So in the valley of decision, there's a lot to be learned there. Like, Lord, I don't see where the next door might be open, but I just totally trust you. There's some sweet things in that valley to participate in and to eat. So, and I told her, I said, I had this job, you know, and all these plans worked out. And the person called me and said, oh, I decided I don't want to have the paint job. Well, that is too... Anybody ever been in construction knows all the timing and planning to come schedule your job, and then you decide to get eight employees, and you decide you don't want, you know, you're not only thinking about yourself, but you have all these other people that are counting on the employment, and I just decided not to do it. Oh, what did you do? Well, I asked the Lord to open up other workforce, took any avenues that came. Guess how many avenues came in a two-week period? Zippo. Nada. Zero with the rim rubbed out. So what did I do? I said, okay, I'm just going to give myself totally to you, Lord. The phone's on. The calls, if I check all the possibilities. I read the Bible through in 2 weeks. It was so wonderful. I wasn't making any money. And it was still wonderful. And the Lord just drew me to himself. And I had just a wonderful time in the Lord. Every prediction of Christ will be fulfilled. He has come to offer forgiveness of sins to all who would believe upon him. So even while he was going through that suffering that was being accomplished, Peter, a New Testament believer, understood that David, an Old Testament believer, spoke of the suffering of the then future Christ. You can compare Acts 2, Pentecost message, with Psalm 16:10. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul wrote that the Christ has come and then died, was buried, resurrected 3 days later, ascended into heaven, and that this same Jesus is coming again to rule and reign on the earth. What do you have? What's the pattern? You have suffering before glory. What is it? Suffering before glory. That's always the pattern in the Bible. Go to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. You always have suffering before glory. Romans 8:18 and then 28. Romans 8:18. For I count it to be so. That's what reckon means. I esteem it this way. I think this way now. That's a change. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's a mouthful, isn't it? What a statement. What a dynamic statement in the Word of God. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. My brothers are bantering around about the possible collapse of all things. In the year 2000, it was the same issue. Stock up on your beans and your peanut butter and whatever else, because the computer glitch is going to happen. There's going to be a shutdown. We're all dying. We're not going anywhere until the Lord's ready for us to go anywhere, folks. Did you know that? Nowhere. And when it's our day, we're not going to stop the day either when it's our time to go. Suffering before glory is still true today. What is God, on our papers here, what is God taking you through right now so that His glory might be revealed in you? Mike, how you doing tonight, brother? Guess what we were doing at the deacon meeting last night? We were giving the Lord praise for taking you through the valley. We thought you might be dead. You did too. Yeah, we didn't know for a while either. And it could have been that way. Then you would have entered into the glory. But you know, the Lord wasn't ready yet. And it's the glory of God. He chooses two ways, you know. Either He takes us home or He restores us. And glad you're still around. How about that one, Mike? Amen. But you know, one thing ought to be really convincing. There's certainly a lot of people that love you, Mike. That ought to be convincing. Had you not had the trouble, maybe we wouldn't hardly talk to you. I don't know. But because you had the trouble, the people rose up. See what I mean? The question always for us is, what is God taking you through right now so that His glory might be revealed in you? I forgot who said this, but God never wastes suffering on His children, but creates in them a greater desire to participate in His future glory. Never waste. Meditation. May the glory of our future reign with Christ carry us through any suffering we endure today. If you suffer with me, you will also reign with me. Boy, I love that. He told that to Timothy. Encourage him to keep on keeping on. Laurie, have you got a pen? Pocket for the pen. Thank you. Thank you for your prayers for me and Pastor Josh.